listening to the home of cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk right here on LA Talk Radio. You just found the very best in original talk radio broadcasting on the internet. It's LA Talk Radio. We say what we want. What we want. You're listening to On the Couch, On the Couch with Dr. Michelle on LA Talk Radio.
This is Dr. Michelle Cohen, and you are On the Couch. Welcome, everyone. Let me ask you something. What is going on in our world today? Are many people really taking a downward spiral in their morality and awareness of other people out there? And, you know, what with political bickering and finger-pointing, terrorism, the antisocial murders that we hear about in the news? What's with that? What's with all these women becoming murderers? What has that always happened? Is it just because we have a more sophisticated media that talks about it? Is that what happens? Well, there's so much going on in the world today, and we're going to be talking about dealing with that. Do you often ask yourself, is there more out there to our daily lives of stress? I mean, come on, we got the political bickering and the finger pointing and the financial fears and, oh man, is there more out there? Well, maybe you should be asking yourself, is there more in here? That's what I'm thinking. Because today we're talking about answering some deeper questions. And those questions always seem to come within us throughout our lives. And to make it personal, into my therapy sessions, those questions are things like, who are we? Right? Who am I? Why am I here? You have a lot of people that say, my life is bad. I had terrible parents. I got the disorder. Well, I don't know. Is that the true nature of what's going on? We're going to find out. Today we are going to answer a lot of these and more questions and hear from an expert and scientist who will explain that the chaotic world of form is not the true nature of reality. What? Yeah. That the true nature of reality exists. It's a scientific thing, guys. It's in the world of light. Death is not the end, and time is an illusion. My special guest is the former CEO of Ernst & Young Consulting, a distinguished graduate from Annapolis, former nuclear submarine officer. There's more. An advisor to Fortune 100 clients and governments on 5 continents. And, of course, the author of his latest book. It's called 11 Days in May, The Conversation That Will Change Your Life. He is J.D. Messinger. J.D., nice to have you here on the show.
Well, thanks. It's an honor to be on the couch.
Oh, great. Well, just sit back and relax. And I really will enjoy talking about your book today. It was super, really insightful, easy to read, but, you know, very layperson, but scientific as well, to help people out, to help people understand more about who they are and what's going on in the world here. So let's start out by talking about some of the fascinating experiences you had. I was just, when I immediately started reading it, I went, whoa, this is right off the bat here. This is pretty amazing, JD. What led you to writing this book?
I could talk for hours about this, and I do in the events and things, but, you know, the short story was that I was this, you know, left brain, 12 years of reactor kinetics, metallurgy, thermodynamics, advanced math, weapons systems. I like to say I had so much left brain in me I walked with a port list, which means I leaned to the left for those landlubbers, until I broke my neck.
Oh.
And I died, and I left my body, and I watched it from a distance. I went through a tunnel and a beautiful gateway, and, you know, the stories behind all this are fascinating. But when I came back, a lot of very unusual things happened to me. I became fluent in Mandarin in 60 hours.
What?
I had visions of my company's financial system crashing. It did. Visions of the future of energy, financial crisis, you know, things that I wrote about and spoke about for many years before they happened. And, you know, this kind of blew me away, you know, I mean, you know, this isn't supposed to happen. So it caused me, as a matter of necessity, to save my sanity. I had to go on a search to find out, you know, who was I and what was the nature of reality. And, you know, to my left brain nuclear engineering mind, I approached it from a science point of view.
Fascinating stuff. So how long after you died, literally, and went out of your body, how long after that were you learning? Were you getting these insights? Were you seeing these?
You know, it took me months to learn to walk and talk and chew gum again, and the nerves in my neck were crushed in my arms, and they took bone out of my hip to put my neck together, and, you know, so we're talking many months of recovery. Now, I was in Asia. And the doctor said, if I could elaborate a little bit more, put some things in perspective, they weren't putting anything in my body that wasn't there when I was born. No cadaver bone, no screws and plates. And so I had all of this Eastern techniques and modalities, and one of the things that shocked me was 4 years later, I had MRIs and x-rays, and my vertebrae had returned. Like, what was solid bone from C5, 6, and 7 had returned, and I showed doctors these x-rays and whatnot. So over a period of, say, from the time I was able to walk and talk and chew gum again 6 months later, for about 10 years, you know, it took me over 10 years to kind of, you know, I quit my job as a CEO. I had visions of things like games and television shows. I ended up creating four world first inventions, and I don't take the credit. I was merely the instrument. I discovered that in my truth, that all ideas and information and inspiration of things that, you know, don't exist, I mean, they're not in the conscious, subconscious, unconscious, and they're not in the collective consciousness. I mean, it's something that's brand new, that's never been created before, is coming from beyond the collective conscious.
Right.
And what I was doing, something snapped and straightened me out, but I was tapping into this. And so, you know, the worst was really from, say, 2001 to 2005, when I was trying to deal with ideas and inventions and future events and, you know, total strangers coming up to me, dozens of them telling me that I was saved by an angel, and, you know, this just didn't compute in my world.
Right, exactly. Hey, you know, I was thinking, do you suppose that because of your heavy use of your left brain, I know your left brain was firing in those tomography photos, but do you suppose that because of that, you were able to better tap into something that's not on this plane, or what do you think?
You know, in the 11 days in May, one of the parables, you know, we're talking about who are you and why are you here and what's your purpose, and one of the things it says is that your pain is your purpose. And we don't mean physical pain, we mean suffering. And I consider my left brain and all that was going on to be the source of all my greatest suffering. Because my left brain, so the answer was not only no, but sort of hell no.
That's right.
That was my left brain trying to rationalize and answer this. But since I believe there's no accidents, there's no such thing as a coincidence, my birth name is Messenger. It's not, you know,
I
didn't make that up. Everyone asks me that, so I throw it out there.
I love that.
And so, you know, I've just come to totally accept and believe that there is this divine creator and source, call call her by whatever name you would like, whatever language you would like, but it is the most amazing source of all knowledge and inspiration, all creativity. And when you begin to understand the laws, there are laws, there's no accidents, you know. I had this poster hanging on my wall for 10 years. It was Einstein that said, you know, I want to know what God thinks. Everything else is in detail. And that's, right. I was on a mission.
Yes. Maybe somehow it, after all those years, got into the permeated into the subconscious and then went into the conscious. And you said, yep, this is what I'm doing. That's absolutely what I'm going to do.
Yeah, well, but I think, you know, in my research and, you know, being on the couch here, I'm sure you can relate to this, but what I discovered was that the sexually molested young girl became a sexual therapist, and the obese young lady became a dietitian, and the homeless child became a builder, and the left-brain nuclear engineer couldn't accept God on faith becomes a spiritual teacher.
Yes.
You know, the irony is that what we perceive as our curse is actually a blessing in disguise. It is our purpose because we have to solve that pain, that suffering, or go insane.
Yes.
And once we solve it, one day we wake up and realize, holy crap, I'm an expert at this.
Right. Wow. Now that and then you say, that's why I decided to learn this, to get my lesson on this journey this time, or however you can say it, right?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Can you just share with us the essence of your book, 11 Days in May?
Yeah, the description of the book is it's a conversation. It's 36 short parables that answer the questions, what is a thought, what are intentions, what is a soul, what is death, what is matter, what is time. The book actually, it sort of has a beginning, a middle, and an end. The beginning talks about the battlefield we stand in the world, fighting our soul and our heart, and that we're stuck in this world of consumption and polarization that you described, and that everyone has to make a choice between who and what they love more.
Yes.
And this is the battle. The middle goes, which of course is only 600 words in the preface, the middle is the whole story that is a conversation between me and an unnamed friend that goes through my journey, answering and asking all these questions, and this, how that came out is fascinating. And but the epilogue, which was written after, obviously, is really saying where are we and what do we need to do, and that delivering a message that what binds us is greater than what separates us, and that never before in the history of humanity have so many been controlled by so few, but the lovely corollary is never have so many been so enlightened.
Boy, is that true. I'll tell you.
So it's a book to help you discover your truth and your purpose.
It really does cause a lot of thinking. You know, I found myself, You know what? That's a deep thing. We've got to work on that a little bit more in so many of the short parables that you describe. And I know you mentioned, J.D., that your book is, you know, based on the conversations over an 11-day period with that mysterious friend. Can you give me a hint? Just you and me. Nobody will listen.
Yeah.
Come on.
You know, I have to tell people, I had no intention of writing this book. I did not know I was writing the book. I experienced what I call the writing on the wall effect, W-O-W. I call it wow. And I just saw these words, and I just ran to my computer, and I thought I was having a conversation like journaling.
Right.
And we all have these kinds of experiences. And we all can tap in and do this. And so I was just asking questions and getting answers, and I just wrote, and I wrote for 11 days straight. I had no idea what I wrote. I never knew more than four or five words at a time. It was like this conversation. I don't know what's coming up next. Wow. When I was done, my wife said, "What have you been doing?" I said, "I think I wrote a book." And she said, "Well, what's it about?" And I said, "I don't know. I haven't read it yet." And so I prefaced the answer to your question just to reemphasize to the listeners out there, I was an observer in this process.
Yes, yes.
And I had no idea where my answers were coming from or who I was having this conversation with, but it was not me.
Mm-hmm.
It was at least not my conscious or subconscious mind, and it was incredible wisdom.
Yes.
And humor. And there were arguments between me and the voice. And, you know, the voice told me I broke my neck on purpose. I didn't take that too well.
Oh, yeah.
So
that's nice to hear.
The answer, and this is, of course, what do you call it when you're revealing answers? Spoiler.
Yes.
So if you don't want to hear, tune out for a second. But
spoiler
at first
alert.
I thought it was God.
Yes.
Then I thought it was my soul. And then I realized that, you know, I am a part of God, and that is my soul, and God is a part of me, and there's no separation between my soul and my God and this part of me.
Mm-hmm. Beautifully said. By the way, in case you just tuned in here, you're on the couch with Dr. Michelle on LA Talk Radio, and I'm talking to my special guest today. He wrote an incredible book, and I am going to tell you how you can get more information about the book and, of course, JD, and pick it up if you'd like. It's called 11 Days in May, The Conversation That Will Change Your Life. He is JD Messenger, and he is indeed a messenger to many of us, helping us sort of decipher what's going on in this world. And really, what I like, JD, too, is you assured all of us that we all have this within us. Of course, we all have a soul, per se. It's not a religious kind of thing. It's a scientific kind of thing, and that we can tap into our higher knowledge, the higher knowledge, wherever it comes from, and become better people and possibly, you know, better for the others out there in the world, which I really liked.
You know, beautifully said and so important, and one of the parables is what is a truth bump or a goose bump, and I got goosebumps all over me when you say it, because it's a sign, and we... You know, the left brain nuclear engineer had to integrate spiritual and religious thoughts with science. And my conclusion was that everything is energy. We know that. Matter is not solid. We know that. You have to look in your pinky 100 million times to see anything. And the first thing you see with a microscope is clouds. Nothing solid. 100 million magnification. It's, you know, we are pure energy, and energy is photons, and photons is light. And so we came from the world of light, we live in the world of light, and this is energy, and this is us. And this energy takes form, takes substance, and it's real, but it's not the complete nature of reality. And once you integrate what I call the religion called science, and the science called religion... you begin to realize that there are no accidents, that we are guided and surrounded, that all of the great masters and philosophers who have said all these things, ask and you receive. You too can do great things. Everyone can create and invent and tap into this ability. And it's cool.
Yeah,
and
it's cool.
Wonderful.
Yes.
But you got to let go of the gumbo that's confusing you in your head. I call it the gumbo.
That's a good
word.
The
illusions and misconception gumbo.
Yeah. Yes. I call it junk and streams of consciousness. But, you know, it's really true. I mean, we just have to. And I think that's probably one of the most difficult things for us today, because it's such a fast-paced world. And there's so much going on in terms of information that we need to digest on our conscious level with, of course, social media, with learning, with everything that's going on right now. It's high speed, and we're learning how to process it.
You know, the way I looked at it is, you know, on my submarine, it's a nuclear submarine, or we have a sonar, right? And that sonar has this big dome, and the dome was designed from dolphins. And that dome is like our head. It is a sender and receiver of electromagnetic information. It is the sender and receiver and filtering device for all the collective consciousness and beyond collective consciousness. And we use our intentions, and our motivations are the filter that set what frequency and information we want to receive. You know, when I was chasing a Russian sub, I didn't want to hear the singing whales and snapping shrimp, so I put in a filter. And so that's what we do. That's what our minds are doing. And you gotta find the filter. You gotta remove the filter, and you gotta set the intention and motivation. And the most powerful thing that I discovered is that the energy from our heart is 5,000 times stronger than the energy from our mind. And that when we do things from our heart, the scientific evidence is that it helps you live a longer, healthier life.
Yes.
It improves your body biologically. It's also a more magnetic and attractive force.
It sure
Isn't
is.
Isn't this fascinating?
It is so fascinating. And they've come out with so many studies now that the heart is so much more powerful than the mind.
Yes.
And
yes, so these
yes.
all these things that we've taken as, you know, dogma or mm-hmm. or statements for 4,000 years, where there's a convergence going
mm-hmm.
on
mm-hmm.
between the essence of science and religion and spirituality, and it's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, it is such a beautiful thing. There's so many questions I want to ask you here that have to do with some of your parables. What is a thought?
A thought is pure energy. You know, I don't believe, there'll be people that disagree with me, but I don't believe there's knowledge is stored in our brain.
Mm.
Where's the hard drive? There's no hard drive in our head. What there is, our brain is fiber optic cables. It's millions of miles of fiber
right.
optic cables and electrical signals that are going boom, boom, boom at the rate of 100 trillion impulses to 100 trillion cells. It's the most powerful supercomputer in the world.
Yes.
So all of this thoughts is really a collection of information, which is knowledge and wisdom and experiences and images.
Mm-hmm.
And I like the metaphor I use is your mobile phone.
Yes.
Do you accept that your mobile phone can receive documents and images and it's got a unique ID?
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, guess what? Your brain is billions of times more powerful,
mm-hmm.
and there's trillions of emails and photos and documents and radio shows going around.
Yeah.
So basically, our brain is this sonar dome that's sending and receiving.
Mm-hmm.
It's all energy waves, mm-hmm. which were photons converted into digits, you know?
Yes.
And that creates this frequency. I said that a little backwards, but people know what I mean.
Yeah.
And that's what thoughts are.
Yes.
Thoughts are electrical impulses.
Mm. So we are a transmitter and we're a receiver as well.
Right. And our motivations and our intentions are setting the frequency for the information we want to receive.
Mm-hmm, exactly. You talk about our belief systems being formed, right?
Yeah.
And why do other people tear us down, and how are those belief systems formed?
Well, those are a couple of really deep questions and long questions. The short answer is that belief systems are a combination of all of our cultures, norm, experiences,
mm-hmm.
teachers, books, and things like that. And the interesting thing is that a lot of those belief systems are based on what I call faulty, limited, or outdated information.
Mm-hmm.
Faulty, limited, and outdated programs are created from these beliefs. I call them flops.
Yes.
And, you know, some people, you know, there's a lot of provocative things in this book. I, for one, believe that women are just as divine as men.
Hmm.
And, you know, when I researched the answer on why can't a woman be a priest,
mm-hmm.
the answer that is secretly revealed to me is, well, God talked to Jesus, and Jesus was a man, and therefore God only talks to men. And I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. Are you telling me that women, God doesn't talk to women, and women aren't divine, and therefore
right.
women can't be priests? But I said, do you realize that this is a 2,000-year-old belief system?
Yes. Yes.
That is created by a faulty belief, and this faulty belief creates a program, a whole series of programs that priests can't get married, women can't be priests,
right.
and all this, it suppresses the whole divine feminine.
Mm-hmm.
That's a really big, faulty, and outdated belief.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
But they're simple ones.
Yeah.
One of the ones discussed in the book is, I love this story, and, you know, it's a story about this woman who wants to cook a pot roast, and she tells her friend to cut the ends off the pot roast,
right.
and the woman says, why should I do that? It's perfectly good meat.
Mm-hmm.
And she says, well, that's the way my mother taught me. And
right.
the friend says, I'm not going to cut the end off the pot roast. Call your mother. And the mother says, well, I don't know why your grandmother taught me.
Oh,
so call grandma.
That's right.
Grandma, she calls grandma and says, grandma, why do we cut the ends off the pot roast when we're cooking Yeah. She said, well, I don't know why you're doing it, but I had a small pot.
There you go. It's a pretty simple answer. Yeah.
People crack up laughing. You see, that's an outdated program,
yes,
as
exactly.
opposed to the faulty program.
Yeah.
It's 60 years old, three or four generations. You see, we're filled with these things, and they're actually in our cells. They're
mm-hmm.
stored in our cells. You
yes.
probably know each cell has been proven to hold over 1 billion documents.
Yes.
And with 100 trillion cells, do you realize that the source of all knowledge and wisdom and information, this life, past life, generations behind, it's all there for us to tap into.
Exactly. It's so true.
And so, but we've got a whole bunch of these flops
mm-hmm.
that are discussed in the book that some are created by us, some by our parents, some by schools, teachers, norms.
Yep.
And we got to blow these things up. The biggest one is the illusion of separation.
Yes.
That is the biggest one, that you're different from me, that I'm different from you, that we're separate from the air and water minerals. I mean, this is ridiculous.
It is.
We say the air and water minerals are dead, but we're bodies alive. Where's the dividing line between the air and the water and minerals and me, which is alive, and when it's outside me, it's dead?
Exactly. And a lot of folks come in and talk to me about, you know, their pain and suffering. Many of them are artists. Many of them are spiritual people who say, I know I have to experience the pain and suffering in order to be more enlightened or more of a creative person. Is that true, J.D.?
Well, I don't think it is true. It's not an axiom. I think, unfortunately, that's what happens to most people, myself included, because the mind, we're talking about suffering, and, you know, pain is a necessity of having a physical body that gets broken.
Mm-hmm.
But we say, oh, I'm in pain, when we're not in pain. We're actually mental suffering, and that is totally optional. Suffering is created when our head is saying go left and our soul is saying go right.
Right.
That's suffering. We get ripped in half. So the question becomes, what creates the suffering?
Exactly.
What creates the suffering in my mind, I'll just speak for myself.
Yes.
I was this corporate executive, you know, self-made multimillionaire, doing all these big fancy things. I thought money made me happy. I thought who I was my job. I thought I was supposed to be strong and powerful and men don't cry. And I thought that life was a destination stop called retirement. And then when I broke my neck and all I could do was stare at the plaster and the ceiling for days and days and weeks.
Yes.
I became present, and I was like, hey, wait a minute. I'm not actually happy.
Right.
I don't know. I'm not sure what grades my kids are in.
Right.
I don't know their favorite ice cream. Or I didn't go to Beijing or Australia with them. I was busy doing a merger. There's something really wrong with me.
Aww.
You know?
Yeah.
It was all of these programs created by society telling me that I was a consumer. Money makes me happy, you know, sex is love, you know, all these things that we're being bombarded with nonstop. And I just said, no, wait a minute.
Yeah, yeah.
These things are making me feel bad. And it took me 10 years to find my heart and to find the faulty programs and to say, I don't accept that. Life is not a destination, it's a journey.
Yeah.
And my children are my greatest gift, and money does not make me happy. I think happy people make money.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, exactly. That's right. That's exactly right. No, it's true. You got to stay happy. You know, so many folks also, we all fear death. We all fear it. And there are a lot of books out there. Of course, the new neurosurgeon who came out and had the afterlife experience sort of legitimized that belief.
Yeah.
And God is for Real is being made into a film, I understand, right now. A lot of experiences being shared for more public acceptance of the fact that death is not the end. What do you mean when you describe that? What was your experience? And
oh my God, I went through it. I mean, I left my body.
Yeah.
I observed it from a distance. When the essence of me, which was not physical, left my body, it collapsed like a rag doll, just went bloop and flopped on the desk and flopped on the floor.
Yeah.
And I went through this tunnel like Jodie Foster in Contact, a blue tunnel, like a kid going down a water slide, and sparkling lights like, you know, like a fireworks show. Mm. And I came out and I approached a wormhole.
Yeah.
For those scientists, I came up to the event horizon, which is the outer edge of the wormhole where you're spinning around. And I'm not creative enough to make this up, okay? And I then got sucked down into the wormhole. And I went to, you know, the short answer is different dimensions.
Right.
And
wow.
And you tap into, you're out of your body. There's no pain and suffering. The mind is gone. And all of a sudden, you're exposed to this bliss. It can only be described as just pure bliss and love and peace.
Wow. Yeah, that is beautiful. That's so lovely. And then, you know, you came out with clarity and you came out with knowledge. It wasn't an altered state where your right brain was playing tricks on you, or your, you know, the functioning was, you know, the famous British scientist,
you know,
neurologist.
Yeah, but debunks. You know, the thing is, I didn't accept that.
Yes.
I mean, I thought maybe I was hallucinating,
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
I had no less than 12 people who were total strangers
mm-hmm.
just come up to me and say, did you know that you nearly died?
Mm.
Did you know that you were saved by Archangel Michael? I mean, 12 times in a row. I mean, I began to wonder if somebody had a sign on my back. And, you know, the experiences,
yes.
if you hear the full story, it just blows you away. So then I went and to, you know, famous hypnotherapists and,
yes.
and went to regression.
Right.
And relived and re-experienced all of it.
Did you really?
And, oh, yeah. And then I researched the scientific evidence.
Yes.
See, this is what took me 10 years.
Yes.
And so I triangulated. I'm a submariner. You know, you
right.
got to get 3 independent bearings or more to find out where the target is.
Right.
And that's what I did.
Yes.
And it's supported by science, philosophy,
yes.
religion, spirituality, but most importantly, my own personal experience.
Mm-hmm.
It's my truth.
Yes.
You know?
Exactly. And on that note, you state in your book, you say, a quote, a true master knows he is not anyone else's master. And one of my favorite books is If You See the Buddha on the Road, Kill Him, which which is kind of a radical title. But it's really one within the same, exactly what you're saying. So what do you mean by that?
During my journey, I went through lots of different programs. You know, spiritual programs, religious programs, Bible study courses, on and on and on.
Mm-hmm.
And what I noticed was that in almost all of them, there was someone who was sort of the master or the guru, either alive or dead, who was preaching the word about discovering your truth and the light and that you're a soul and all these things.
Yes.
And that you too can tap in and do great things, like Jesus said, and
mm-hmm.
so on.
Mm-hmm.
But then they had their, and you got to do what I say.
Yes.
And I'd be like,
yeah.
Well, wait a minute, you just contradicted yourself.
That's right.
You know, you
right.
know, I love the. I consider myself spiritual, and that
mm-hmm.
all religions are spiritual, but spirituality is not a religion, but. You know, the great masters have said it. Jesus, Lao Tzu, Confucius, Buddha,
yes.
you know, Muhammad. I mean, they all said, you
yeah.
know, the light is within us.
Yes.
It's always been there.
Yes.
And,
yes.
you know, once you discover it, then you're home. You've
yes.
made it.
Yes.
And no one else can be your master. No one else can try to tell you the truth or your way or your purpose. You are your own master. You are the captain of your ship. You are the master of your vessel. You are here for a reason.
Yes.
The first hurdle in your life you got to get over is all the naysayers telling you you can't do it, you're no good, whatever.
Yes.
You got to just jump over them.
There you go. That's now you're talking my kind of talk here.
Yeah.
You know. So quick and dirty real fast, because I know we have to wrap this up soon. Besides the knowledge that, you know, we are our own masters and we can really find the light within and become a little more enlightened and have much more understanding of why we're here and who we are, what's a quick tool that folks can use to tune in to that?
you have to learn how to let go of your mind. I guess the first thing you have to do is recognize when your mind is in control.
Yes.
And you can recognize when your ego and mind is in control because it'll do a lot of talking.
Mm-hmm.
You might have a conversation and you'll listen to somebody and then you'll go, yeah, and then you'll start talking again, not
right.
having a real conversation.
Yes.
You'll say me, 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 I, they. You'll use absolute terms like never or always.
Yes.
You'll be accusing and blaming other people.
Yes.
You'll be judging. Mm. And these are all the signs that the head is in control.
Boy.
As opposed to, you know, so you got to get rid of that. You got to snap out of it. I wear a rubber band. I encourage people to wear a rubber band. And when you catch your mind talking, you know, I snap it
yeah.
gently
yeah.
to snap out of it. Sometimes
right.
I have to snap it really hard.
But right.
Another thing, of course, is, you know, meditating
yes.
and clearing your mind, going for walks in nature. One of the most powerful things that people like is about water. You see, water
mm.
is a powerful block of energy waves. We put a foot of water around the nuclear reactor to
mm-hmm.
stop the energy from melting us.
Right.
That's how
right.
powerful a blocker water is. So when we talk about water as being purifying and baptizing or
yes.
or blocking,
yes.
you know, you go jump in the water,
yeah.
or especially the ocean, or take a bath or take a shower,
oh, yeah.
and you're like washing away all of the energy fields from other people,
yes.
and you're starting to feel yourself better. I think it's why we sing in the shower.
I think so, too. It's true. Are we, you know... I have these brilliant ideas that come to me after I've
absolutely.
Taken a shower.
And swimming?
Right.
Or
exactly.
in the ocean? You
right.
know, I had seals write to me going,
oh.
they read the 11 Days in May
yes.
and the part about the water, and
right.
they were like, oh my God.
Yes.
I never understood why during a combat mission I would always feel
yes.
grounded and firm
exactly.
once I got in the water.
It's the negative ions, you know, too. I mean, it's amazing.
Yeah.
It's just amazing.
Yeah. There's also some simple tips about writing.
Yes.
You know, you can write, you don't want to focus on whatever the negative pain or suffering is.
Yes.
You pivot, you know, you write the positive uptick in affirmations.
That's exactly right. And you have to, the more you practice, it's repetition and rehearsal, and you start to really embrace it and believe it. You know,
well, what you're doing is you're recreating a new software program in your cells.
Boy, you sure are. And that's beautiful. Well, listen, J.D., it's been such a pleasure talking with you. How can folks get more information about you and pick up your book?
Well, they can visit my website, jdmessenger.com. I am going to be in Los Angeles at the Agape Spiritual Center on June 1st and 2nd.
Great.
All of my events are on my website. And you can buy the book online, you know, on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, iTunes, ebook.
Yeah.
So.
Yes, sounds beautiful. Well, I will put that information up, and the show will be available in downloads and replays after tomorrow with all the content on how to get a hold of you and your book.
All well, right. thank you so much, and God bless you for what you're doing. It's,
oh, thank
it's critical.
You. Oh, thank you so much. It's my pleasure, especially to have guests on such as yourself. Thank you for bringing this knowledge to everybody out there.
Oh, well, you're welcome.
You're amazing.
Have a wonderful day.
All right, JD. Take good care now.
You too. Bye.
Bye. Again, my special guest, J.D. Messenger. A coincidence, he is a messenger. His book's called 11 Days in May, The Conversation That Will Change Your Life. And again, like I said, what I'm going to do is I'm going to go ahead and have your information up, J.D., on the website here on L.A. Talk Radio. And if you have any questions or comments about today's interview, you can give me a call, or you can also... And the number, of course, here, I'll give you in a moment. You can also email me at docmichelle@aol.com for feedback, questions, or comments. And then I can pass that information along to my special guest. Now, if you'd like to call me, the number here is 323-203-0815. I wanted to hold off on taking calls during my interview with JD because I really wanted to kind of grasp and embrace a lot of what he was saying here. Within his book, I didn't want to throw off track anything, so we could get, you know, some information, you know, about the book. And let me just tell you a little bit more here. What we've got, the 11 Days in May, is explaining that it is very scientific. By the way, we live in the world of form. All right, form, of course, it's all held together. it's sort of a box, and in J.D.'s words, that's clouded our minds with faulty and outdated programs. And inside this box, man believes he exists to conquer. But the world of form is not the true nature of reality. It exists within the world of light, where matter is not solid, death is not the end, and time is an illusion. And, you know, just sort of hearing that and hearing other people's experiences like J.D. that I presented here on the couch, you sort of get a sense that there is something to this. You know, there is something really to this reality that is more than we see every day. And you've heard me before talk about how we sort of get addicted to the drama by reading the news, by taking in the gossip, by hearing others' issues, by all the energy that we pick up during the day from other people. Instead of going to relaxation and peacefulness, well, we do that, of course, coming home from work and having a drink or two or three. That doesn't really still our minds. It numbs us. And our partaking in whatever else, you know, will sort of numb us and get rid of our thoughts. But what I think we have to do is we have to really work on stilling our minds from all the chaos going on so we can tune into a better place. And I'm not talking about spiritual, you know, airy-fairy woo stuff. This is scientific. The scientific information that the brain does need some downtime. It's just like a computer, like J.D. Messenger said. We need time to slow down the information. We need time to, as he was just talking about when he was describing water, sort of washing away that energy from other people, from other worries, from other fears, from the chaos out there in our world. So, you know, there really is something to clearing your mind and taking care of yourself. And you don't have to go into an ashram somewhere or high on the top of a mountain. Or, you know, it does help sometimes. But you really can go within yourself, in your private place, wherever it is. In your backyard, in your favorite room, you know, in a park by yourself, wherever it is. You can do that, and you can go peacefully within yourself. And a lot of people think that, you know, stilling our minds involves meditation that involves really hard focus or going in, that kind of thing. You don't have to do that. Just still your mind. Think of positive thoughts. Think of something special. Think of something calming. You see what I'm saying? And you know, that's really what you have to do to train our minds. Because, again, our minds are like computers. We're training. We're getting more information. But we need to still that information. We need to reboot. We need to clear it. So that's what we all can do. Relax. Try to still our minds. Not with substances. And I want to leave you with some quotes here from J.D. Messenger's books. And in his latest book, 11 Days in May, The Conversation That Will Change Your Life, he talks about suffering. And the reason why I chose this is because I work with a lot of people who suffer in their lives. And there's a conversation going on, and he asks, clearly I have no idea what the difference is between pain and suffering. And the answer to that is pain is the result of having a physical body that is occasionally damaged. And he asks, is pain accidental? And the information he received said there are no accidents. He says, no accidents. The tree that falls on the house, the man who's hit by a car, the child who falls off a curb, and the fuse that melts and causes a fire. None of these are accidents. The voice says, what do you mean by an accident? He says, an accident is an incident where someone or something is damaged, and it was not intentional. Right? We all believe that. And the voice says, not intentional? You mean like when you broke your neck? And he says, like my neck. Yes. The voice says, you're absolutely correct. How terrible of me to confuse the ability of your mind to create two different outcomes in your life. And he asks, what two outcomes? And the answer to that is the ability of your subconscious supercomputer to create a positive outcome. All of the positive outcomes you have created, like forming a company. And the subconscious actions that caused you to ignore going to the doctor when your neck was falling apart. Clearly, there's no connection. What could possibly be the connection, he asks. Why do I have the sense that you know what the connection is? The voice says, you know, I didn't say that I ever believed in a sixth sense. I said you do not believe in it yourself, and most people don't. You do not believe in that sense. But we all have a sense. What is that? We all have some deep intuitive knowing without rational explanation of why things happen. We never really know why things happen, why we have insight sometimes, why we are so-called psychic, why we have all these things going on within us. Sometimes we never really know. But we have to trust in ourselves, and we have to trust in our minds, and that's what I say. What I also always say here at the end of a show is that you do need to take care of yourself first, and then you'll be great for other people. It's about that time. I feel much better helping you out here, as I always do, on the couch. This is Dr. Michelle Cohen. So lovely to have you here with me. Take good care of yourself first. I'll be back next week. We're going to have another excellent author helping you with some of your own inner conflicts and problems, helping you work through some of the issues that we all share out there. In a very simplified manner. It's very simple. We just can't see it. All right, take good care. Talk to you later. Dr. Michelle, bye-bye.
Got you on my mind again tonight. Seeing flashing rays of colored light. Back here so I can get you.